You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Bavarian Podcast Works. This is Chuck Smith, and I'm here to bring you the preview show ahead of Bayern Munich's Bundesliga match against FC Köln this weekend. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit different than what we saw between Bayern and Arsenal on Tuesday night in London. Of course, that match ended in a 2-2 draw, but it did give fans a lot of reason for hope. It was a very spirited effort from Bayern Munich, and I don't think anyone really was disappointed with how the team played. Yeah, of course, it wasn't perfect. But after watching two completely hapless, lifeless games against Borussia Dortmund and Heidenheim, it was very refreshing to see that the Bayern Munich players were able to garner enough will and fight from within to go out and play against a team that, quite frankly, has been better than them all season. In addition to that, we got a chance to see Thomas Tuchel actually do some coaching and have it work out. The players all accepted their roles. I thought they really, for the most part, all performed really well. And it was just a good game. It was a good football game for anyone to watch, even if you weren't a Bayern Munich or Arsenal fan. However, it was also matched up against Real Madrid and Manchester City. So we know where most of the eyes went globally when it comes to making a choice between those two games. But as good as that Manchester City and Real Madrid match was, the Bayern-Arsenal game was just as good. I think, you know, if some fans get a chance to check it out on a replay, they really should. If you're not a Bayern or you're not an Arsenal supporter, it's worth your time because it was a really fun game between two very talented and good teams. And for Bayern fans, it was just, like I said, very refreshing to see that there was life, that there was energy, and that the team played with a purpose. It has not been like that for the majority of this season, unfortunately. So seeing it and watching it in action and seeing how the game played out and to see how Bayern really did rise up and raise its level of play in the Champions League on the big stage, I was very impressed. I know a lot of you were too. And if you didn't get a chance, you should absolutely check out our post-game show, which was hosted by I Need No Name and Siler. They did a really good job breaking things down, giving you their feedback and insights on what they took note of during that match. So please do check that out. As for this weekend's match, we'll start out like we always do, and we'll take a look at where each team is in the table. Of course, Bayern Munich and Köln are in really different spots, although you might not know it if you talk to their fans last weekend. Bayern Munich is in second place through 28 match days. They have 19 wins, 3 draws, 6 losses. That is good for 60 points. It actually ties them with VfB Stuttgart for second place, although Bayern does hold the tiebreaker of having a goal differential of 44. Bayern has 80 goals for, 34 against, 36 against. So that edge right there is the reason why Bayern Munich is in second place. They do trail first place juggernaut Bayer Leverkusen by 16 points. Just a ridiculous season from Leverkusen. Still no losses. Just incredible, incredible form under Xabi Alonso. Bayern Munich, over the course of its last 5 Bundesliga matches, has 2 wins, 1 draw, and 2 losses. They have lost 2 in a row. Last week was a 3-2 decision to Heidenheim. Before that, a 2-0 defeat at the hands of Borussia Dortmund. There is no chance for Bayern Munich to win the Bundesliga. Let's get that out there. Mathematically speaking, we know how this works, but you have to be real in this instance. And a lot of people might argue if Bayern Munich can't find a way to get its focus back for the league games, they could really endanger their spot with the Champions League competition next year for qualification. So this is a very tricky situation for Bayern. They can't just turn everything and look at the Champions League. They have Stuttgart chasing them. They have RB Leipzig, Borussia Dortmund. Those are the three teams that could conceivably overtake Bayern if Bayern continues to slide in the league. I don't think that will happen, but hey, we have seen some really uneven and quite frankly poor performances from Bayern this campaign. So How they handle this weekend's match against Köln will be very telling for what we should expect to see the rest of the season in the league. As for Köln, they sit in 17th place in real danger of relegation through 28 match days. They have 4 wins, 10 draws, 14 losses. They have 22 points. That puts them 8 ahead of last place Darmstadt, 1 point behind 16th place Mainz. Mainz, quite frankly, is playing much better than Köln is at the moment. Köln has 23 goals for, 49 against. That's a negative 26 goal differential. Over the course of Köln's last 5 matches, they have 1 win, 2 draws, 2 losses. They did win last week over Bochum 2-1. So that was a positive note for Köln, but this is not a Köln side that is overly good. Let's be honest. They have not been able to really establish anything this season. And even though they have some talent on their roster, nothing has really come together. This is absolutely a shame because this Köln team should have been better than what it was. But sometimes you get these seasons where when you don't have an especially deep side, a couple of injuries can really derail you, which I think that hurt Köln. There was a very uncertain situation, coaching situation. There seemed to be some issues early in the season where the coach was not connecting with the players. And I think that was unfortunate. And I don't blame that as much on Stefan Baumgart as much as I do the players. And, you know, this is not a team that can afford not to be fully aligned. I mean, if you matched up Köln's roster versus Heidenheim's, you could really argue that Köln has the better side, but Heidenheim plays as a unit. They are fully focused and have a club mentality. I don't get that impression from Köln this season. So this is a spot where Bayern Munich probably should go in, and they should probably win this match because this is just, it's not a good Köln team. And as much as it would be a shame to see them be relegated, it's a legitimate possibility at this point. So Köln, not very good, not a lot of hope. And this conceivably is a match where Bayern Munich should be able to do some really good things, maybe integrate some new players. But Tuchel is going to have to be very cautious. You don't want to rotate too much and ruin any kind of consistency you have ahead of the Arsenal match, while also risking, you know, again, dropping more points in the league, which could be bad if the teams behind you continue to win. When we look at Bayern Munich's squad heading into this match, injuries are always at the forefront of things. Luckily for Bayern, though, a lot of the players are getting healthy. Tarek Buchmann is still not back. Sacha Boué is not going to be back yet. He's, I believe, doing still some rehab work. Buna Sarr is back working on the ball after a torn ACL, but he is probably not ready anytime soon, maybe a month away from even getting into a team practice. So I don't believe, you know, there's any real hope for him to make any impact. Not that he would have anyway, but just giving you an update on his situation, because somehow, some way, he finds himself in the middle of our training reports every day, just about. One of the key injuries that was picked up during the Arsenal match was Serge Gnabry, who has a hamstring injury. He'll be out for what is said to be 2 to 3 weeks, so that will put him out for the next Arsenal match, which is a shame since we all know he loves to kill London teams. And honestly, Gnabry has been one of the better players Bayern Munich has had over the past month. Since he has come back from his previous injury, Gnabry has really injected some life into the attack. This is what we like about Gnabry when he comes in and he's impactful. And he's, in a lot of ways, not a real winger, but he is a wide attacker who can take advantage of 1v1 situations. He makes good runs. When I say take advantage of 1v1s, it's not as if his footwork is all that dazzling, but he still finds a way to beat defenders, whether it's straight runs or whether it's just exploding. Either way, Gnabry finds a way to make things happen and typically can be productive when he's on one of his good streaks. Now, the downside of Gnabry, aside of his injuries, is that he's so streaky that you could go months without him actually putting in a good performance. So Gnabry, in the end, will be one of these players that Bayern Munich really has to make a tough decision on. Do they continue to hope that you can consistently get the best of him and that eventually will show? Or do they gamble now, sell him, because he'll still be a valuable commodity? I mean, there are teams that are going to see his production when he's healthy and say, we can work with that. I mean, he is a valuable asset to have on the team. So I think that that is one of those calls that Bayern Munich is going to have to make, that not only will it obviously affect Gnabry and the immediate squad planning, but it's going to affect some of these other rumors that we've seen, particularly around players like Chris Furyk, who's having a really good season for Stuttgart, or even players on the roster like Brian Zaragoza, who has been really not used all that much and conceivably, depending on who you believe with reports, could go out on loan this summer. Now, Zaragoza has noted that he is not planning on that, but what a player says and what a club wants could be totally misaligned, so we'll see what happens there. Another injury to keep an eye on, and this is not necessarily something that's even designated as a full injury, but Leroy Sané, who has been banged up for quite a while now. We've seen fatigue kick in. We've seen him go into a slump. Sané is a player who, at his best, can be one of the best players in the world, or when he's slumping, can be one of the world's most frustrating players. Sané did pick up a knock against Arsenal. It appears to be something muscular, but we don't know if it's a strain, pull, contusion, anything. We just don't know. It could just be something re-aggravated from before. We know that Sané has been pushing through injuries for the majority of the season, which makes it even all the more curious to why Thomas Tuchel continues to roll him out there. Heading into the Arsenal match, I was not a fan of using Sané, because I felt like he might need a couple of days to ramp back up. I mean, let's face it, he was banged up, he was tired, and he was slumping. So Sané, as much as I keep wanting to say Gnabry, Sané went out and he did some really good things, had some very impactful moments. In fact, he drew the foul that earned Harry Kane a penalty kick. One of the big debates on BFW in the comments section over the course of today being Wednesday was, you know, I categorized Sané's performance as bad, and I get people that thought that was maybe a little bit too harsh, and that's fine. I'm okay with debating that back and forth, and it's fair to say that, you know, he did some really good things and was impactful, because he absolutely was, and I wouldn't take that away from him. I guess my expectations of Sané are probably a little bit higher in terms of consistency, in terms of when he gets himself into those 1v1s, what he can do with it. And I thought he did pretty poorly in some of those instances, at times that really could have affected the game. So that's why I probably didn't rate him as highly as some of the other players. But hey, you know, maybe it was a little bit harsh, more harsh than usual. Maybe I have higher expectations built up from everything that we have heard about him. Or maybe I just want to finally see him be the player I think we all know that he can be consistently and snap out of this. And even when there were times where it looked like you would see the old Sané, there would always be another play or two that would crop right back up where he'd make a mistake, bad pass, or an unforced error, whatever the case. Sané is banged up, and it's probably an instance with him where I think Tuchel needs to rest him, no matter if Sané wants to play or not. You have to be smart with this. If you're planning on using him against Arsenal next week, then you absolutely have to rest him now. And I don't even think that's debatable. So hopefully Tuchel can do the right thing. It would be, in my mind, it would be really bad to roll him back out there knowing he's banged up, knowing he's been slumping, and knowing that he's been tired. So Sané is definitely one of those wild cards for this match against Colton, because we don't know what Tuchel's going to do. We don't know how available Sané is going to be. The one thing that we do know is that Tuchel will have options when you look at players that he can use in the attack, whether you're talking about Thomas Muller or Matisse Tell or Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting or even Brian Zaragoza, there are players that he can absolutely work with and that he can utilize in this situation against what is in reality a lesser Köln side. That's absolutely, unfortunately for the Köln fans, it's the truth. They're just not really a good squad this year. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, discuss Thomas Tuchel's possible lineup, and give you a prediction on the match, which, if you've been listening to what I'm saying, you can probably feel like I'm going to side with Bayern in this one, even though they have been really lackluster in the league over the past couple of matches. Hang with us. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Bavarian Podcast Works. This is Chuck Smith, and I'm bringing you the preview show ahead of the Bayern Munich versus Köln match in the Bundesliga. As we talked about in that show opening, a lot of decisions here for Thomas Tuchel to make. He's got some injuries to account for, not many, thankfully, But there are some players that could be reintegrated into the lineup. We know that Alexander Pavlovich and Nusar Mizrahi were two players that made the trip over to London. They're two players that hit the training ground right after they landed in Munich earlier today. So they are very eager to get back on the pitch. It'll be very curious to see what Tuchel does in the midfield. I have a feeling that could be an area where we see some changes. But at right back, I don't know if Mizrahi, even if he's healthy and at 100%, I don't know if he's going to be able to usurp the position from Kimmich at this point. Even though Mizrahi might be a better true right back than Kimmich, it would be a very tough situation for the coach and the player if Tuchel were to bench Kimmich for a Champions League match, or maybe even bench him for this weekend. What I would probably say is that at right back this weekend, Kimmich will probably play about 60 minutes before Mizrahi comes in to give him a blow. And if he does that, I think it's a pretty big signal that we'll see Kimmich playing against Arsenal next week. So as for this predicted lineup, we have to factor in a lot of things. Injuries, fatigue, Tuchel's preferences. It's always a guessing game, right? We're rarely ever right on these things, although I was pretty dang close with the Arsenal lineup. Actually, I was very close to hitting that dead on. I thought he would use Mizrahi at right back and slide Kimmich into the midfield, just because Leimer had been so bad previously, but Leimer turned around, had a great game against Arsenal. Go figure. Either way, I thought Mizrahi's speed would be an asset against Arsenal, but Tuchel stuck with Kimmich out there. He rode Leimer and Goretzka in the central midfield, and it worked out. I had a feeling that Thomas Muller was headed back to the bench, and that's exactly how that played out. So we'll see if I can stay relatively on par with trying to read Tuchel's brain, which, of course, is a very difficult task. So Manuel Neuer will start between the sticks. Neuer, listen, I think Neuer's great. I think he's still great. I think he provides such assurance for the team. He's a leader back there in terms of how he directs things and just what he's able to do at the position and what he provides out of that position. It's such an underrated weapon for Bayern Munich that I think, as much as stats might indicate otherwise, and our own RLD brought some very interesting stats up to me about how this is statistically not one of Neuer's best seasons. In fact, I think it's his worst in terms of expected goals allowed or whatever. I don't know. It's one of those stats, but it was a very interesting article from The Athletic that RLD had shared. And it was one of those things that I talked about with RLD. Like, it's one of those instances where your eye test is telling you something different than what the statistics are. And that's why it's always tough to be married to one or the other without having some kind of blend. Like, I tend to lean more to the eye test, but then there are some statistics that I really lean on as well. So I try and take everything and mash it together and come up with my own opinions on things. But I did think that that was interesting. So if you get a chance to check that out, let me see if I can find the author's name. But I thought it was a very intriguing thing to look at, just because it was one of those things that really defied what I thought I was seeing with my own eyes. And it was ESPN. I'll actually give you the quote here. Preventing chances hasn't really been an issue for Bayern. They've allowed the fourth fewest XG of any team in Europe. It's just that their opponents have turned 22.6 expected goals into 33 actual goals. Some of that is simply their opponents shooting the ball well, but a sizable chunk comes from one of the greatest goalkeepers of all time struggling to stop shots. Since 2013, which is as far back as stats perform shot-stopping data extends, Manuel Neuer has conceded nearly 28 fewer goals than we'd expect the average keeper to based on the shots he's faced. However, at 38 years old, Neuer has allowed a career worst 2.73 goals more than expected this season. So that's a little bit of the background on that. And again, that was on ESPN. So if you want to check that out, I thought that was very interesting. But my eyes are telling me that Neuer's doing pretty well and that he's really important to the team still, even if those stats might indicate otherwise. Anyway, the center backs, very interesting decision for Tuchel again. There was very mixed reviews on Eric Dier against Arsenal. I didn't think he was as bad as some people did. He did have, listen, his passing was not great. That was one of the things that I was critical of. I was happier with his positioning and his awareness and his communication back there. I thought De Ligt was really good. All that said, I don't anticipate seeing either of those two against Köln. I think we're going to see Tuchel lean back toward Kim Min-jae and Dayo Upamecano. There are some reports that Upamecano is unhappy with his role now at Bayern Munich. Not all that shocking. He went from being an unquestioned starter to now, you know, to his own fault, with some of the performances he's had being relegated to the bench. Meanwhile, Kim Min-jae is said to still be happy despite the reduced role. Whatever happens, I think whoever the next coach is will have a lot of different ideas about how this back four should be set up, who the center backs should be, and how much they should rotate, which was not a strong suit of Tuchel. You can say what you want, and there are a lot of Tuchel fans out there, but he mismanaged those center backs from the get-go, benching De Ligt a lot earlier in the season, put just so much wear and tear on Kim Min-jae and Upamecano, two guys that play a really physical and active style. It hurt them. And now I think, you know, when they needed to dig down deep in some of these games at the end of the season, they can't do it. Their bodies aren't letting them do it. And De Ligt and Dyer, quite frankly, are more fresh. Dyer didn't play at all for Tottenham in the first half of the season. So I think the pairing has been really good between De Ligt and Dyer. That said, Tuchel's not going to take any chances with a silly injury right here. Kim Min-jae and Dayo Upamecano should be good enough to get past Köln. Although last week, if you saw the debacle that they put on against Heidenheim, you might think otherwise, but I think we're good to go with Upamecano and Kim Min-jae. Left back is a very interesting situation. I think we're going to see 60 minutes of Rafael Guerrero, and then I think Alphonso Davies will probably play about 30. I know this is a tough spot because Davies, I didn't think was that great. Again, this was one of those statistics versus eye test situations. His statistics weren't bad, but how he played in the first half and the lack of focus and where his positioning was, it was a problem in the first half especially. We all know how good he can be, but how can he get to that next level? How can he consistently be as good as we once saw him be? He hasn't been there. So I think in this case, Tuchel's going to give Guerrero 60 minutes. He's going to want to see what Guerrero can do. I think from there, he'll give Davies 30, and then he'll have to make a decision based on that. If I'm Tuchel, as much as I probably didn't love what I saw from Davies against Arsenal, I think you almost have to start him in that game because his catch-up speed can be, if Davies is committed to playing a defensive style, it can be a difference maker, especially against a speedy team like Arsenal. I think you really have to look closely at this position if you're Tuchel, and I think fans will have a pretty keen eye in looking at that left-back spot. So I'll go with Rafael Guerrero. At right back, I think this is another situation. Like I said, you'll see Kimmich for 60, Mesrawy for 30. I would expect the substitution to happen. I think Kimmich is probably locked in starting at right back against Arsenal, but I think Tuchel will want to see what Mesrawy can do in the event he thinks he needs to bring him in. In the central midfield, this is an interesting spot. Laimer and Goretzka worked really well together against Arsenal. Laimer was a pressing machine. He made life hell for Martin Odegaard. Goretzka, again, Tuchel sat him a little bit deeper at times, but when he did, I mean, he was ruthlessly efficient with his passing and his statistics, tackling, challenges, everything. He scored great in all of that. He made some great timely runs. Goretzka, for as much as he's been maligned, has been really good in my opinion of late. And I know every week I sit here and say I'm get flamed for that, but it's the truth. He's been good. So what does Tuchel do in this spot against the 17th place team when he knows he's got to turn around and put together a lineup for Arsenal? I think we could see Alexander Pavlovic start this game if he's healthy. From there, I think we'll see Goretzka, but I would expect that there will be a sub at some point, probably for Goretzka, maybe also for Pavlovic, depending on what his wind is like at this point. We, of course, coming off of tonsillitis, it's really a fitness issue. But I think Tuchel's going to balance keeping some players healthy with also trying to see form-wise where players are, because if Pavlovic is in form and ready to go, he might get the call against Arsenal. Despite how good Goretzka and Laimer played together, Pavlovic has brought a different element to that midfield, and he could be a player that could be a difference maker against Arsenal, somewhat giving Bayern Munich a look that they haven't presented Arsenal with, which could present some issues. So we'll see with that, but I do think we will see Pavlovic and Goretzka start this match. As for the attack, Harry Kane's always going to start, so let's get that out of the way. I think it would be asinine to start Leroy Sané at this point. He's too banged up. Serge Gnabry is no longer in the mix. Jamal Musiala did not have a great game against Arsenal. Again, playing at the 10, playing in the center of the field, not as impactful, dribbling into people too much. I don't know what it is. He seems to overthink the game at the number 10 position. I'm not even calling for him to be benched or anything like that. But I'll say, like, he has to be better in those big spots playing at the 10 if he really wants to be a number 10. So in this match, though, I think Thomas Muller will play because he didn't play against Arsenal. There was really no thought, I think, to even really using him. As for Musiala, probably could use a day off, although it would be tough to give too many players a day off given what we know about the injury situation. That said, I think we'll see Kane, Muller, Musiala, and Coman as the options in the attack. I think Matisse Tell could be someone that gets a look to start for Musiala. It's possible, but I think Musiala will probably get the early start, maybe play for a half or 60 minutes before Tell will come on. Hey, I could be wrong. Muller could be completely done at this point and not in the plans of Tuchel. We don't know. Unfortunately for him, I thought he came off a really good spell. And again, what has seemed to plague him more than anything is if he doesn't, the minute he steps off the gas or doesn't have an A-plus game, Tuchel really just relegates him back to the bench. So unfortunate for him, but hopefully he'll get some time this weekend to show what he can do. So let's recap that predicted lineup. Neuer, Upamecano, Kim-min-jae, Guerrero, Kimmich, Pavlovich, Goretzka, Kane, Muller, Coman, and Musiala. We could see any number of changes to that. This is just spitballing. I don't know how deep Tuchel's going to go into his bench or how much he's going to really want to, I guess, secure health for players ahead of Arsenal. We'll see. So a lot of possibilities for him. As far as a prediction for this match, really tough to say because we don't know how Bayern's going to approach this. Are they going to come out with a good focused mentality or are they going to run out and go through the motions? It's impossible to say. We don't know what we're going to get. So I will say that Bayern Munich will win this one 3-0. I think they just have too much talent. I think if there's a team that has packed it in maybe more than Bayern over the past couple of weeks, with the exception of Köln's last week win, they have not looked good for most of the Rückrunde. So Bayern, at some point, talent has to take over in one of these mismatches. So I'll say 3-0 Bayern Munich. That'll wrap up this edition of the preview show. We will have the weekend warm-up dropping on Thursday, so be sure to check that out. As always, you can get me at the Barrel Blog on Twitter. You can get the site at Bavarian FB Works. You can get this podcast at Bavarian Podcast. You can get I Need No Name at BFWINNN. You can get Siler at BFW Siler. You can get Tom Adams at TommyAdams71. You can always get all of our great podcasters and writers at BavarianFootballWorks.com. So check us out there. We will have all of the coverage of the Bayern Munich versus FC Köln match like we always do. Have a couple of beers on me. Enjoy the match this weekend. We'll see you next time.